right. I want to ask you a question. Brother Steve's got it up here on the board. Do you really love God? Do you really love God? When we have our feet washing service and the Lord's Supper, and when that's over, almost every time our pastor will ask us to stand and sing. And what is the song that he almost always asks us to sing? Anybody? I love him. Let's try singing that and see if you remember it.
I love him.
Crying, raising their hand, nodding their head, smiling, because I love him. But what does that mean? What does it mean when I ask you, do you love? Do you really love God? There's a lot of songs about love. I love God. I could have went through several, but I just picked that one out. But Jesus tells us exactly how to love God. So let's go to our next slide, Mark 12 and 30. So Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord with all, and he gives four things. This is our entire being, with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. So when I ask you, do you really love God? In our lesson tonight, I want to touch on, do you love him with your heart? Do you love him with your soul? Do you love him with your mind and with your strength? And what is the difference? Let's talk about that for a minute. So let's go to the next one. Do you love God with all of your strength? So when I say strength, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Muscles, right? Effort. Work. All right? So this might be you using your time and your talents. It takes energy for me to stand up here and talk to you. It took energy to get ready for the lesson. You might have to maybe put some money in the offering. There's some action. I'm loving him with my strength. Oh, getting that wallet out and putting some money in there. That takes a little bit of effort, doesn't it? So this is kind of an outward expression. So what do you think are some other examples of loving God with our strength? What's going around the room right now? A card. And when it comes to you, do you get the pen and write, happy birthday, been missing you, Brother Jet, right. Sister Sherry? Or do you say, and pass it to the next person? So to love God with your strength could be signing a card. What else could it be? What happens the first Sunday, I believe, of every month in the afternoon with Brother TJ? I believe that's right. Visitation. Awesome. That's loving God with your strength. Show up. Participate. Sing some songs. Say hi to the residents. How about right here? What's this? A sign-up sheet to do what? Volunteer to chair. Volunteer to lead the singing. To play the piano. That's loving God with your strength. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, what's happening here in this building? More than likely. Cleaning. Who likes to clean? Not me. I don't enjoy it. But I love God with my strength. And I know there are dirty floors and dirty chairs and toilet paper needs to be restocked in the bathroom. So we can love God. I know everybody can't come to that. But there's surely something you can do to love God with your strength. Now, here's something everybody can do. We just sang, I love him. What could you have done to love God with your strength while you were singing? You could have raised your hand, Sister Perseus. You had it, didn't you? while I'm talking right now, or while our pastor's perhaps preaching here in a little bit, what could you do to love God during the preaching?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, guess what? You guys can say amen. I know it's hard sometimes. Start really quiet. Say amen so nobody can hear but just you. But just increase that volume every time a little bit. When I hear a young person amen during church, I about come out of my chair. It is such a blessing. I'm so excited. So you never know who you might encourage. So we're going to love God with our strength. All right? So next slide. Do you love God with your heart? Oh, we just came through that season, Sister Sherry. All right. But we often consider the heart the seat of our affections, our emotions. It's also a place where our thoughts take place. I know our heart, we think our heart's here and our thoughts are up here, but technically our heart is the seat of our emotions. And Proverbs 4:23 tells us, keep your heart with all diligence. So if I'm very diligently watching something, I'm being very careful. I'm not letting it out of my sight. I'm keeping an eye on it. Why? Why do I have to be so careful? Out of it are the issues of life. So another version says, everything you do comes from your heart. You know why? Because what you think about in time will come out of your mouth. You ever have somebody that you're really irritated with? They hurt your feelings and you're just angry with them, but you know you can't say anything about it, but you stew on it and you think about it and you remember. And you know what? One of these days is going to accidentally slip out. Somebody's going to mention Brother Cucumber, and you're going to be like, oh, I can't stand. I wasn't going to say that. But it came out of the heart because the heart had been thinking about it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why we've got to be diligent. Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, do you love God in your thought life? When I'm talking about your heart, do you love God in your thought life? What do you think about? What are you thinking about right now? Do you love God in your thought life? What do you put into your thought life? It's old saying, garbage in, garbage out. There's a lot of things that we can put into our brain. What do you read? What do you watch? What are you looking at on social media? Out of the abundance of the heart, whatever I'm putting in there, into my mind, it will come out. Do you love God? All right, let's go on. Do you love God with your soul? What is the soul? The soul is the real you. We have a body, but we are a soul. One of these days, this body's not going to work anymore. Something's going to stop. The brain, the heart, something. Will I cease to exist? I will not, will I? Where am I? If the body's no longer operating, what's operating? The soul. It is the real you. So how can we love God with the real you? The real you is your personality, your character. Now there's an old saying, character is who you are when nobody's looking. So when you're all by yourself, mom and dad can't see you, siblings can't see on you to tattle on you, friends can't see you, who are you when nobody's looking? The real you. This is going to require to love God with your soul, with the real you, is going to require honesty. We can fool mom and dad sometimes. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes. We can fool friends sometimes. But you know who we cannot fool? Is God. And sometimes we can fool ourselves. And so God is saying, I want you to love me with the real you. Be completely honest. Because I know who you are. And you be honest with me. God, I need help. I need help in this area. I'm not doing well in this area. Thank you for helping me in that area. Be completely honest and submit your ways Being honest is like, God, you know what? Whatever you have planned for me, I'm willing. Be honest. Love God with your soul. And the last one in the scripture, do you love God with your mind? Now, that means to actively pursue knowledge. What does that mean? What does it mean to actively pursue knowledge? To try to gain understanding. To put effort to gain understanding. Do you read your Bible? If you do, you're endeavoring to love God with your mind. Do you study your Bible? Is that different? It is. We did a Bible study with our senior youth. Even just a little thing like looking up one word, finding the definition, looking at context, seeing who's being talked to in that verse, that's a Bible study, even though it's short. You're adding to your understanding. You're actively pursuing knowledge. Do you memorize Bible verses? If you went to junior church, you certainly did. You young ones that just came in, you probably quote all kinds of scriptures. In fact, I think there's a junior church Bible challenge going on tonight. And you've heard me say it before. I have to smile frequently when Brother Decker is reading a text. Whitney will start quoting it from her memory right beside me. And it's been years. So that's in her heart. She's loved God with her mind by memorizing Bible verses. But I have a question. What do those verses mean? If you've memorized them, praise God. I'm excited. You've got God's word hid in your heart. But you need more than just memorization. What does the verse mean? What do the verses mean? To find out, to understand, you're going to have to apply yourself. So in school, I don't know about now, but back in the day, they'd always say, put your thinking cap on. And that meant I was going to have to exert some energy. I was going to have to apply myself to understand what something meant. So let's say, how could we apply ourselves to something we have memorized and make sure we understand it? All right, next slide. Who knows this verse? Let's all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. I would say just about every one of you were able to quote that from memory. What if you had a friend that said to you, what does John 3:16 mean? Could you explain it? Can you quote that verse without thinking about it? I think you most of you just did. You could have been thinking about the fact that it's raining outside and somebody across the room is wearing a red dress and Brother Steve preached this morning and I wonder who's preaching tonight. The whole time you said John 3:16, couldn't you? And you weren't applying yourself. You were just saying it from memory. But if somebody says to you, Sister Camden, Sister Emma, Brother Connor, what does that verse mean? Not sure. So why don't we do an exercise tonight? I've been meditating on this. Let's do a little exercise with John 3:16, a verse that all of us know, probably, for the most part. And let's see if we can love God with our mind more than just memorization. Next one. This is called verse mapping. So if this is something that appeals to you, you might consider doing this in your Bible study, in your Bible reading. Take a verse apart. So let's just start. First word, four. Now four does something. It's pointing. Where is it pointing? It's pointing to the verses before it, right? Four, like because, it's like Jesus is saying, I'm going to explain something to you. I'm going to explain what I've been saying. So, very, very important. Anytime that you're looking at a verse to understand context. Is this in the New Testament or the Old Testament? New Testament. Who's speaking in this verse? Jesus. Who is he speaking to? Verse 1 in the chapter, if you have that, hold up. Who was Jesus speaking to? Brother Ben, did you say it?
Nicodemus.
Okay, now we're starting to get some understanding. All right, so we got to understand. God, Jesus has been saying all these things to Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus came to him by night. What was Nicodemus a part of? What group? Pharisees. So very strict religious order in, of the Jews. Very, very strict. He was part of them. He probably, possibly didn't want the other Pharisees to know. He's got questions. He comes to Jesus by night. He's been asking Jesus questions. That's how this verse came to be spoken by Jesus. That's what for means. All right, let's go to the next one. God. Is there only one God ever mentioned in the Bible? Only one? Oh, there's Baal and there's Moloch and there's Ashtaroth and, you know, Paul on Mars Hill saw a lot of altars to many, many gods. So it's super important you know what God is being spoken of. So this is Creator God, the one who sent his Son. So because of what's been said so far, Jesus said, I want to tell you, my Father so loved. Okay. Have you ever said, I love ice cream and I love my dog and I love my bed when I'm tired and I love going on vacation? You ever said that? I love chocolate. Jace came up to me yesterday at the funeral. Grandma Sherry, I want to go to Cheesecake Factory. I said, you do? Yes, and get chocolate. I said, you know what? Shout out to my own heart. So I love chocolate, but this is not what Jesus is talking about, was it? Is that what he's talking about? What kind of love was Jesus talking about? What verse in the Bible comes to your mind when I talk about so loved? What is the greatest love? No greater love than this. What was it? That a man do what? Lay down his life for his friends. Is that what Jesus, at the moment, he hadn't done it yet, but that's what he came to do. No greater love. So, because of what I've said so far, Creator God had this awesome love. He so loved just a few people, just some of the world. Now, let's go back to context. Who was Jesus talking to? Nicodemus. Who was a Pharisee? Who believed that God had a chosen, favorite, special, only people. Didn't believe salvation was for everybody, just the Jews. And so what does Jesus say? The world, everyone. Nicodemus, not just the Jews. That he gave. This is a costly gift. For Jesus to die on the cross was a costly gift. His only begotten Son. Now, I wonder what that means. When Abraham was asked by God to do something really hard, what was it? Sacrifice. Isaac. And Hebrews tells us it was his only begotten Son. Now, if you've read that story, you can only imagine the agony Abraham was in. This was the promised son. He probably wasn't going to get another one, not from Sarah, not at this age, even though it was a miracle that it happened. And so when we see the story, we read the story of Abraham and how hard that was, then we think it had to have been hard for God to give his only begotten son. When Jesus, God's only begotten son, hung on the cross, what did God do? Did he say, oh, Jesus, I'm here for you. I love you, son. I'm right here with you. I'm watching out for you. I'm taking care of you. Is that what God did? Is it? What did he do? He turned his back on Jesus, his only begotten son. Why? Because what can God not have in his presence that Jesus took on him for the whole world? Sin. Now, Brother Steve and I have one son. And I love you guys a lot. But I cannot imagine being willing to give up that son for you. That would take a lot, wouldn't it? And God did it for the whole world. His only begotten Son. That whosoever, okay, here we are again, Nicodemus, just in case you didn't get it the first time. Jesus did not come for just the chosen. He came for the whole world, for whosoever. That's who Jesus came for. Or Jesus is saying, that's who I came for. All right, then, believeth. You've got to believe in Jesus. Now, there's a lot of people that believe. The Bible tells us even the devil believes, right? So belief has got to be a little bit more than, yeah, Jesus was a man. I believe the Bible's true. If I said to you, young people, this building's on fire right now. If you want to be saved, you've got to get out. Would you sit here? Sister Sherry. I don't know about that. Well, it might be on fire. I mean, Sister Sherry probably doesn't lie, but I'm just not really sure I need to move right now. You'd be like, there's something wrong with your reasoning. If you believe me, if you believe I'm telling the truth, and I tell you this building's on fire, what will you do? You will get out. Slowly. Will you go to the bathroom first? Will you go to the kitchen and wash dishes? Will you go play ping pong? You will just make a straight line to the door and get out. So you see, to believe in Jesus means you've got to put action to it. If you believed he came to save you, you're going to do what he said to be saved. Whosoever believeth in him, really good to make sure we know who these pronouns are talking about, okay? Jesus. Should not perish. Here we're talking about spiritual death. We know from the story of Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they did not drop dead instantly, did they? Where did they die at? Inside. Spiritual death. But have everlasting life. I want to go back for a second to believeth. Some people that should have believed, but we found out that they didn't. Jesus' disciples, he told them over and over what he came to do. Oh, but what did they want him to do? Sometimes our wants are bigger than reality. Yeah. Jesus has come, he's the Messiah, and we're going to overthrow the hated, who? Romans. We're under the Romans, and we're going to overthrow the hated Romans. He's going to go to battle. And Jesus would say, no, my kingdom's not of this world. Yeah, and he's going to overthrow the Romans. Poor Jesus is like, probably pulling his hair out. And he's telling him, I'm going to die, and then I'll raise up again in 3 days. Yeah, he's going to overthrow the Romans. And so, did they really believe he was the Messiah? Because when the soldiers came to get Jesus in the garden, if they really believed, what would they have done? Would they have run away? He's the Messiah. He's going to conquer everything. He's going to overthrow the Romans, whatever they thought. They must not have truly believed because they ran. How about Peter? Did he truly believe Jesus was the Messiah? Before Calvary, Jesus has been taken. Taken to Pilate's hall. Peter's there, warming himself at the enemy's fire, which is a part of his problem. And what did he do? 3 times. Denied Jesus. Are you one of them? Oh, no. But you talk just like, no. And he even did something worse. What did he do? He cursed. Did Peter really believe? Now, he did in time. One of my favorite stories in that regard is that he's not willing that any should perish. It's in another scripture that tells us that. And when Jesus rose from the dead and he's speaking to the women at the tomb, he knows Peter. You know, we sing, he knows my name. And that means he knows your personality. He knows your character. He knows the soul, the real you. He's like, you know, Peter's going to be so embarrassed.
Peter's going to be so ashamed. He's going to have a hard time showing his face because of what he did. Even though I warned him, I know Peter. And what did Jesus tell the women at the tomb? Go tell my disciples what you've seen. Well, Peter's one of the disciples, so Jesus could have put a period right there, couldn't he have? But the great love of Jesus, and he knew Peter, he said, go tell my disciples and what? And Peter, make sure you don't forget Peter. Go tell him. God so loved his son, so loved. Let's go to the last slide. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? If you have had the great blessing of being here or being brought up in a godly home, taught Church of God truths all your life, it's a danger. It's a blessing and a danger at the same time. Most of you, as we already said, was able to quote John 3:16 without much thought. If we go to church tonight and Brother Donald says, get your big hymnal and turn to page whatever, how many of you don't even always need a hymnal? You're like, yeah, I know that song. Once again, we come to the house of God to unite in songs of praise. Look at her red dress. What? Look at him over there.
Oh, look, my hand is raised.
Oh, look, my hand is raised. Very good. I like that. What did we just do? We didn't love God with our mind. We just sang it, didn't we? And there's a great danger in having knowledge and not knowing how to apply it. You know a lot of Bible stories, right? You've maybe had family worship. Maybe mom's read them to you. If you've had a chance to go to Sunday school, even in the older classes, we're talking about Bible stories all the time. But do you love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength? All of them. Not just one of them. Not just two of them. I think about it this way. I can say, oh, I love Steve. And I do love Steve. But what would you think if I said, I love Steve, but I never cook or do the laundry, I don't help him, I never lift a finger to do anything that requires effort? Would you doubt that I love Steve? Now, understand, maybe some people have afflictions and they can't do that. But I don't have an affliction that I can't cook and do laundry and make the bed and et cetera, et cetera. So if I never put forth effort, if I didn't balance a checkbook and I didn't pay the bills this month, Steve for sure, Brother Steve for sure would doubt that I loved him. And if you heard about it, you'd be like, wow, I don't know. Maybe she doesn't love him. What if I did everything else except for I never thought about it? I thought about other guys instead. Compared him to other guys.
You're fired.
I never said I love you. But I did everything else. Oh, I love him with my strength. I love him with... It takes everything. What if I was not honest?
Fired.
I'm getting fired a lot. What if I wasn't honest with him? Just like, we've got to be honest. But I still cooked and I cleaned and I thought about him. I just kept hid things from him. Or... what if I never bothered to learn what he likes and what he dislikes? I kept fixing the food for him that he couldn't stand. And I kept shutting the curtains crooked because I didn't stop to take into consideration that that drives him nuts. I never listened to him talk about what he does at work. I'm like, oh, I got time for that. But I cooked and cleaned and thought about him once in a while and said, I love you. How was that relationship going, do you think? Some bumps, some stumbling blocks, some challenges. I got fired like 3 times. I just heard that. Can we love God with just our strength? God, I'll come to work day. But do not expect me to apply my mind. That's way too much effort. I don't even know. I don't want to. And heart. Oh, my heart's over here. My thoughts are over here. My affections are on something else. And my soul, well, I don't really want to be real honest with you, God, because I got stuff I'm trying to hide from you. Do you really love God? If you do not put forth effort or give him a place in your thoughts or be completely honest with him or actively pursue what the word says. You can't pick and choose because Jesus said, and your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So I hope this challenges you when we sing, I love him. And you're singing it, that means you're saying it, right? Should we say things we don't mean, we don't believe, that aren't true? No. You wouldn't sing, I hate him, would you? No. Oh, Sister Sherry, I don't mean it. I'm just, that's the words of the song. No, that's not the words of the song. Don't sing it if you don't mean it. But you sing, I love him, and then you, well, it'd be a good idea if I raise my hand. Let's think about what that means. I love him with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Turn it back over to the chairperson.